JP, maybe give me a little bit of the voyage, the travels that have led you here to Calgary. Tell me about your hockey journey.
Well, I've been fortunate. I haven't really been traded or bounced around too much early in my career. Played 2 years of high school hockey in Grand Forks, and then from there I got drafted in USHL and played 3 years there for the Lincoln Stars. Was fortunate enough to be part of a championship team there, which was exciting, and was able to be goal of the tender of the year in my time there as well. And played 4 years at the University of North Dakota. There I was able to be part of four Frozen Four teams, two of which I was able to be the starter and was Hobie Baker finalist there. And then first year pro was just got an ECHL contract and played for the Alaska Aces. And won goal of the year there and was able to go to the Kelly Cup Finals. We ended up losing Game 7, which is kind of heartbreaking, but it was a real fun grind there. And then my previous year played full-time in the American League for the Portland Pirates, where I was predominantly just kind of a number two role there. So it's I kind of slowly but surely kind of keep eking up the ranks here. So
it's a fascinating story for many reasons. One of them that I find interesting is you being a Grand Forks guy and kind of going on to play for the University of North Dakota. I mean, one of the most prestigious programs in all NCAA hockey. That must have meant a lot to you.
Yeah, I was, I was telling someone earlier in the week here, it was, it's always been my dream to try and make the National Hockey League, but if there's one team that I knew I always wanted to play for, is the University of North Dakota. And if people haven't, if aren't familiar with the program, it's a real special place. And the people and the players that are involved with the organization, it means a lot to them. And one of the great things is we have a really good alumni program. So I grew up, seeing a lot of alumni come back to town and skate in the summer, and guys that went on to have good NHL careers and whatnot. So it's it's always going to be number one in my heart to have played there. And I'm really proud that I was able to add it to the tradition and be a part of it.
This is off the top of my head, but didn't Eddie Belfour bring the Stanley Cup back to Grand Forks and after he won it in Dallas?
Yep, he brought it in 99-2000, and my Commodore brought it back in 2006 with Carolina. So
there is a real strong tie there, isn't there? I mean, it must have been even, as I say, more special because you didn't travel there. This was your own backyard.
Yeah, for sure. It was, I moved away. I was moved away from home for 3 years to play junior, and then kind of coming back home. So it was, there's an obvious comfort level there to be able to play there. But there's a lot of pressure there too. People expect you to win. They expect you to contend every season. And if team's not doing well, the fans and the media, they let you know. So, but I was the type of player I really thrived off of that sort of pressure and those expectations, and I thought it helped keep me sharp and keep me honest too, because you're not always going to have a perfect execution level, but if you have a strong effort level on a night in night out basis, your dips in your low parts of the season are going to be kind of few and far between.
In conversation with JP Lamoureux here on the Fan 960. Tell me, you mentioned the NHL dream was there. What about drafting and all of that as an 18-year-old? Did you get drafted? Did you go through that whole process?
I was never drafted. I was part of that 84 age group where there was a handful of really good goaltenders. So for me, I've always been kind of undersized and overlooked. So, my whole progression from high school to junior to college and college to pro, it's always been, he's been good at this level, but, we think he's going to be too small to be successful. So I've always had to kind of fight those. I still maintain the dream. I work just as hard as anybody, if not harder. But I think for me, to be able to play in the National Hockey League, I have to overachieve. And I understand those expectations. So for a small guy like me to be successful, I have to excel at the American League level. And, kind of go above and beyond, my bigger counterparts.
When did that acceptance come? Because surely at some point it must have been frustrating to you, but you sound like you completely come to grips with it. You're very in a good headspace. But when did that come?
Early, just in high school. Yeah. My freshman year of high school, I might have been 5'4", 5'5", but, I was still able to be, pretty successful at high school level and able to get drafted in the USHL and stuff, so... I had a really good mentor in Carl Gehring. He is a smaller goaltender, played at the University of North Dakota and played about 10 years in the American League. And we started working out when I was, kind of making the transition from, Bantam AAA to high school. And he was just great, just gave me a lot of positive feedback. And, you know, he had a great saying that I've kind of always used. You know, everyone kind of says, you know, you're too small, but, you know, we'd always just say, well, the puck doesn't know how big we are. So as long as we're in the way, you know, that's all that matters. And I think as a small goaltender, you have to be a really smart player. And I think if you're really smart and you have good reads and you're positionally sound, I think that can, you know, that can override, you know, size.
Well, tell me a little bit about that first, that pro experience, because of all the places to start your pro career, up in Alaska isn't necessarily the first and foremost, I think, in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, I was, you know what, I was a big skeptic when I moved there, but after living in Anchorage for, you know, a good nine and a half months, I love it up there. It was a great city. A lot like it is kind of, you know, in the Canmore, Calgary area, sure, except on a bigger scale, you could say. But you know what? I had a really good coach in Keith from Cambridge. He's kind of a minor league journeyman. Mm-hmm. Did a lot. You know, he was great with me. You know, I played pretty much as much as I needed to, as much as I wanted to. And that was great for my development, making, you know, the transition from, you know, playing a 45-game schedule in college to, you know, we played 72 regular season in the East Coast League. So it was great. I got to play, you know, a big role on that team, and I was able to put together a good playoff run. So I kind of, you know, had a good learning experience on what a playoff grind is about. You know, certainly our travel in Alaska was pretty grinding, but I had a wonderful experience up there, and still have close ties to a lot of people in Anchorage. So no regrets going there. It was a great starting off point for me.
So how do you go from Anchorage then to Portland?
I thought I had a pretty good year and put myself in a good spot to kind of move up, and I never really got a lot of phone calls, to be honest with you. So it was kind of the same old thing. It was kind of, you know, thought I was going to get some good opportunities, and kind of a slap back to reality just with the way, you know, American NHL opportunities are. They're kind of few and far between. So ended up getting an invite to Buffalo's development camp, and it wasn't even an offer. They said, hey, well, you know, we'd like to take a look at you, type of thing. So I went to camp, and then you know, they deliberated over that, and then they offered me a contract, and then I was able to go to main camp. So just it was kind of a, you know, a real small, more intermediate stepping stone. Was a kind of a number two guy, would play pretty sparingly, but nonetheless I was able to spend the whole season up there and kind of learn a lot too. So
is one of the biggest things that, you know, you were talking about size earlier, but I wonder, to a certain extent, we often hear about it in football, that if you're not somebody's guy, that you're always kind of playing from behind. Is that one of the issues you're dealing with right now? Is it because you're not a drafted guy, you know, you kind of have to fight that uphill battle and try and establish yourself within an organization?
Yeah, I think the reality of it is that, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. But again, you know, like the size, it's something that I accept. I accept that it's going to be harder for me to do that. So what I try to do is go out and control effort, professionalism, being a good teammate, and overall, you know, the most important thing is just your execution level on the ice. So just trying to maintain that level of consistency in all those areas. And I think if I just continue to kind of do those things, I'm slowly going to keep chipping away and keep earning a spot. And, you know, it's comforting to see guys like Tim Thomas, who, you know, they were minor league journeymen for many years and were able to crack through and make it to the NHL. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of other guys like that too. You know, you can look at a guy like Ty Conklin as well, who played a lot in the minors and was able to, you know, earn an NHL job. So you know, it's comforting to see, you know, there's guys that are in the similar boat to what I am now, and, you know, I'm still pretty early in my pro career, but I just want to control those things, and like I said, if I can do those things, I'll keep chipping away, and I think good things are going to happen for me. So
talking to JP Lamoureux here on the Fan 960, fan960.com. I guess that logically brings us to now, which is you're a part of the Calgary Flames organization, or the Abbotsford Heat organization. How did you end up here?
Again, just not a team that I didn't really think was interested in me, but you know, phone calls between, you know, my agent in Calgary, and they said, you know, they'd like to offer me a spot, and you know, it's a real good opportunity. They said there's, you know, with Kiprusoff being the only guy with the NHL experience on our team, that, you know, it leaves a lot of kind of uncertainty with the other guys. But you know, you look at the depth, we have you know, four quality goaltenders behind Kipper, and you know, like I said, you know, I'm not really sure what my role is going to be. If I had it my way, I'd love to be the number one and, you know, play 60 plus, and I think I could do a really good job of that. But I'm going to have to earn a spot, and I think this is going to be about as fair a situation as I can be in. The way it sounds is, you know, the best guy's going to play, and I, as a player, you can't really ask much more than that. If I can go out and control the, you know, the factors that I can, You know, I should be able to play a good amount of games this year.
Is it something you recognize, or something that you saw, that the fact that last year David Shantz, who was in a very similar situation to yours, yeah. came and he earned the job, and Abbotsford was given that number one job? There's got to be that sense, at least you got that chance, right?
Yeah, no question. I was, you know, I wouldn't say I follow a lot of other goalies and see what they're doing, but, you know, I'm well aware of what's going on sure. amongst the league and whatnot. So, you know, that was certainly an inviting factor when this offer came about. So, you know, I went into a situation where, you know, maybe I was going to play, but, you know, in the back of your head, you know, you're the slotted number two and you're going to play pretty sparingly. So to come into a situation like this with, you know, as much as I was able to learn last year, being at kind of a number two and seeing how, you know, tough the American League is at times, and, you know, I think I can really do a lot of positive things here. And, you know, above all else, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm a real good teammate to everybody else, and I'm just a real positive member of the organization.
What I find very fascinating is that you're always using that term "we," that it has not taken you long to become part of this organization in your eyes.
Yeah, it's, you know what, I think to be able to be part of a Canadian market team is pretty special too. It's, you know, a similar feeling to how I felt when I played for North Dakota. It's you know, with the Canadian teams, it's a community, and, you know, the town and the city, they're a part of it as much as the players. So it's to be able to be invited and to kind of be a part of a team like the Calgary Flames is, you know, it's special to me. And, you know, I don't want to take it for granted. And, you know, I want, like I said, I want to be a good positive cog, and hopefully, you know, if I can earn my way up, you know, be a part of the Calgary Flames someday. So,
yeah, but for all intents and purposes, being in Grand Forks and being in North Dakota, you are Canadian. I mean, that's the same thing, really. It's just a border there. That's all.
Well, yeah, we're about an hour and a half away from the Canadian border, 2 hours from Winnipeg. But technically, I am a Canadian citizen because everyone in my family is a dual citizen. So, got a lot of family in the Fort Saskatchewan, Edmonton, Grand Prairie area. So, very familiar with this area.